So today's reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 13, which actually is the whole chapter. So it's called An Invitation to the Thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lyra. So following along this theme of food and drink, you'll notice you have a placemat in front of you with a picture of a plate and some cutlery, and it says God's good gifts on top. So if you like to doodle while I'm speaking, you're welcome to put on that dinner plate some examples of God's good gifts. And you can draw them, you can write them, you can do whatever you like. It could be literal things like the foods that you love to eat. It could be more spiritual things like the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. Whatever you feel like it could be a mix of both. Whatever you'd like to do with that, that's what that is there for. So please feel free to do that. Book of Isaiah is an interesting one. A lot of it is full of judgment and warning. But there are these chapters and passages that also have these wonderful words of hope. Remember, Isaiah is a prophet. So while prophets do talk about the future, they talk about the future with the purpose of changing the present. They are speaking to those who were living in the time of Isaiah, but through them, they speak to us too. Usually, sometimes to encourage, often to get us to change our ways. This passage is this big, audacious set of promises. And as God often does, God starts with the people who have nothing. This is the promise. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and sell, and eat. Come buy and eat. And right here, there's a whole lot to unpack, especially if you start to look at the Hebrew, which you all know I love to do in my limited capacity. And I don't know why they do this, but they translate this, and this is where the sermon title comes from, the first word as come. And you see the word come a few times in that verse, but it's actually not that word at all. The Hebrew that they translate as come in the first instance only actually means alas or woe. It's a cry out of despair. Sometimes it's also a call to repentance. But when I hear this, I hear God saying, I am dismayed that you have nothing to drink, and I want to do something about it. Alas, you don't have anything, but come, there's good news, because there is water and there is food, even though you don't have money to buy it. And then God says something weird, right? He's talking to the people with no money, but he says, come buy and eat. How are they going to buy if they have no money? If you go up to the Parkdale Food Center and to their grocery store, you actually see how they do that there, where they give points to people on a card, and they spend their points to get their food. So they have choice in terms of what they get. They don't have money to buy, but they are given dignity in the way they choose. This happens at other food banks around the city too. People are given dignity by the ability to choose what they get, while still trying to be fair and equitable so that as many people as possible get food. I don't know what God had in mind when he says buy, but I do know that, again, this Hebrew word we translate buy, it could be translated like that, but it comes from the root is the noun for grain. So it means to deal in grain. So God's creating this picture for those who are starving to say, look at all this grain. Take the grain that you need and eat. Make your bread. Drink your water. Drink your wine and your milk. And don't be afraid, because I give you this gift freely without cost to you. And if we are today, and maybe even those days, probably our first response is, really? No cost? Free? I don't know about that. But here's something that was pointed out to me about this that I think is worth thinking about, which is that skepticism, that wonder if it can be true, that, my friends, is a privilege. It is a privilege we have when we have enough to drink and to eat. If you are on the brink of starvation and someone says free food, you don't have the luxury of being skeptical. You go to the food and you eat it. If you are on the brink of dying of thirst and someone says, come drink this water, you probably don't stop to wonder if there's something wrong with the water. You drink because you are desperate. When we can look at God's promises and say, I don't know if that's really that good. There's a privilege there that we are maybe not acknowledging, that we think that we don't really need it. And I want to leave that for you a little bit in the back of your mind as we hear what is in the rest of this passage. God's gifts are free, but that doesn't mean they don't require any action on our part. I was thinking a little bit about the Buy Nothing group that I am part of on Facebook. And I can get things from my neighbors for free. If you don't know what this is, it's a internet social media thing where people who have stuff they want to give away post pictures of it, and then other people in the neighborhood say, I'd like that, and you arrange a pickup. If I want to receive a free bread maker from my neighbor, the expectation is I'll go pick it up. That doesn't mean it's not free. But it does mean I have an action I need to do in order to receive my free thing. I think that's fair. And in our passage, God lists some things that we are expected to do or we need to do to receive these free good gifts. And the first one is to come. The first one is to hear the offer of water and food and joy and peace and all the things he lists and say, yes, I want that. Yes, I need that. I'm going to come to the table. If we don't come, God gives us the freedom to walk away, to say, thanks for the offer. I'm going to go work for that stuff that's not food. I'm going to go labor for that stuff that doesn't satisfy. And that's your choice. But if we don't come, we can't receive. The other thing he tells us to do is to listen. If we want God's good gifts, we have to listen to what God has to say. We do that through hearing God's word at church and when we read at home, through Bible studies, through other ways that we get to hear about God's word from conversation with one another. But we have to listen for God. How can we expect to hear God if we don't listen? There's lots of stories in the Bible that give examples of people who think that God's not paying attention until they stop to listen. And then God says that if you do this, if you come and you listen and you actually hear what I'm saying, there's this interesting thing that's going to happen. You're not going to be able to help yourselves. You're going to start summoning the nations, he says. In other words, you're going to want to tell other people about what you've heard and what you've learned. Hey guys, there's free food over here. Really, really, it's on the table. It's all laid out. Come, come listen to this good father who wants what's good for you. Come. Look at what he's done for me. God will do the same for you. Right? He says, we'll be witnesses. And to earnestly seek the Lord, which I think kind of encompasses it all. To actually look for where God is. To not wander around blind and deaf, but to look and listen and seek for where God is acting. And then to get ourselves involved in that. And this is important for us to hear if we're new to following Jesus or if we're not sure if we want to be following Jesus. But I think it's equally important for us who have been following Jesus for a long time. Because sometimes when we've heard the promises a lot, we start to forget how incredible they are. Or if we've been reading the Bible for a long time, we've been coming to church, we've heard it, maybe we think, we've kind of figured it out now. We've learned all we need to learn. And now we can coast. I've been having wonderful conversations with my children over the last little bit. As Madeline's come back from camp and as we're getting ready for high school in 2 days. And you know, I've known my children all of their lives. And they still surprise me by some of the things they say and some of the ways they look at the world. They still have this ability to take me by surprise. It's true of my spouse. It's true of my closest friends. Why on earth wouldn't it be true for God, who is so much infinitely bigger than all of those people? God is always ready to surprise us, which means we're always invited to be listening for the new thing that God wants us to know. And there's this neat promise. One of the promises that God makes in that passage in Isaiah is that when we seek to know God, it's always fruitful. There's always something that comes from it. God promises, my word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When we listen and we look, God answers, and something happens. Sometimes, often, it's something that surprises us. It's not what we were looking for. Maybe it's not what we think we need, but it's what God wants to do with that message. So I'm going to give you a moment now. I've said a lot. But I'm going to give you a moment to talk about what is something you wish you understood better about God or about faith. What is something you wish you understood better about God or about faith? So take a little bit of time at your table, and then we'll come back. All right, my friends. I'm going to bring you back to the front. I hope you have had a good conversation. I'm sorry to interrupt it, but you are welcome to continue it after the service is over if you want, over coffee and tea and goodies. And I want you to hear, coming out of that, the promise that God makes through Isaiah. He says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. But before we get there, we have to be desperate enough for what God offers that we don't walk away. Because here's the thing, it's always easier to walk away. Unless we recognize that walking away isn't really an option. Because we need the thing that's being offered so much, really, there isn't any other choice. My friends, there is good food on the table. There is good wine to drink, or milk or water, if that is your preference. And we don't want to find ourselves so skeptical of the benefits that we never take our seat at the table. The gifts of God come without cost to us. And yet sometimes the things that then God asks us to do can feel like a sacrifice. But God's promise is that what God asks us to do is always better than what we would do on our own. Let us pray. God, you are a generous God. You are a God who offers extravagant love and grace to the world. Your love and grace are so big, they are hard for us to comprehend. And so sometimes we miss out on how good it really is to be your children. It can be particularly hard when we look around the world and we see all the signs of its brokenness. And so we pray, God, for people in the midst of war zones whose lives are at risk or the lives of their friends or family. We pray for those who are in the midst of areas with wildfires and with other natural disasters that again affect homes and lives. We pray, God, for safety for all of those people, for a sense of your presence, and for a path that will lead, in the case of war, to peace. In the case of this world, to better stewardship, where we as a human race take responsibility for what you gave us to care for. Help us, God, to care for it better. We pray for leaders who have the power to make these decisions, to make wars stop, to make better choices around environmental stewardship. We pray that they would make decisions that are good for their people, and not just for themselves. We know, God, that peace and safety ultimately only come through you. Help us, God, to do the little things that we can when we see them and as we can. Help us to know that we are doing our best. And if we're not doing our best, God, help us to do just a little bit more. We pray for people in our community who are ill, who are suffering from chronic pain, whether that's physical or mental, those who are grieving. We pray for those who are in the midst of change and don't know what's coming next. Grant them healing and peace and knowledge that they are not alone. God, thank you that you put us in a family so that we could share our laughter together and our tears. That from the smallest to the oldest, we are all blessed in your sight. Help us to see that blessing, to offer it where we're able, and to know that it is good to be part of your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, in the middle of your table, there is a small card. And this is our response before we sing our final hymn. This is an invitation for you. This is putting what we've been hearing about in practice. So, Rosie's going to put a slide up for us. So, you won't be able to see me at home, but I'm still here. I've given you some examples. So this is what we're invited to do. Sometimes this is the hardest thing. Many of us in the church are really good at giving to others, but it can actually be really hard to accept help. It can be hard to accept help from other people, and it can be hard to accept help from God. So if we're going to come to the table, we need to accept that we need something, that there is something that we are looking for that we can't find anywhere else. I have given you some examples here that come from both our passage and from other passages of Scripture. It is impossible to make a comprehensive list of all the gifts of God. So I've given you some examples to get your brains going, but you may think of something else that you need. So what you have is a little, I don't know, we could call it a promise. We could call it a plea for help to ask for something from God, actually to accept one of God's gifts. So today I accept God's gift of, and there's a number of them, and then you're going to indicate what you're going to do to accept that gift. And I've given some examples of things that you might find helpful. There may be something else. And my encouragement to you is to be specific in what it is you're going to do, because it's very easy to say, pray more. And you pray once this week and you're like, well, that's more than usual. But so if you're going to pray more, what does that mean? Does that mean you're going to pray weekly on Monday mornings? Does it mean you're going to pray daily before bed? Does it mean you're going to set a timer in your clock, in your phone for noon, and you're going to pray at that time? What does it mean if you say you're going to pray more? What does it mean if you're going to spend some time in silence? This is a way for you to listen for God. Are you going to do that for 5 minutes a day? Are you going to do that for 30 minutes a week? What are you going to do? What does that mean? So again, these are examples. But I'm just going to give you a few moments. You can look at this list, you can think about it in quiet, and you can write it down. If you're at home, you don't need one of these little slips. You can just write this sentence out on a piece of paper. Today I accept God's gift of faithfulness by reading the book of Matthew, one chapter a week. And then you can sign it at the bottom. And I'm going to invite you not to hand these in, but to hold on to them. Put them in your purse, in your wallet, in the little pocket in the back of your phone, somewhere, put it on your fridge, maybe somewhere where you'll see it. Remember the gift that God offers you and what you feel like today God is leading you to do to receive that gift. So take a couple minutes to do that, and then we are going to sing our closing song.